This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Humanitarian groups have pushed for years to allow Rohingya refugees access to legal employment and formal education. However, as Malaysia is not a signatory to the UN Convention on the Rights of Refugees, there are no international or legal obligations to improve the rights of refugees in Malaysia. Earlier this month, a Deputy Home Minister, Datuk Nur Jazlan Mohamed, announced a joint task force to deal with issues surrounding Rohingyas. This task force would also be considering the possibility of opening the job market to refugees. If this decision comes to pass, how will it affect our country's economy? Before we answer that question, we speak to Dr. Gerhard Hofstadter, lecturer at the University of Queensland, about some of the ongoing challenges facing Rohingya refugees in Malaysia.
I think a little bit of background. Rohingya refugees have really been coming to Malaysia for quite a long time. I know it was in the news last year in 2015 and became a big issue, but Rohingya refugees have been coming to Malaysia since the 70s, certainly the 80s and 90s. So there's lots of established Rohingya communities in Malaysia. So the community itself, like all refugees, are not accepted legally because Malaysia hasn't signed the UN Convention on Refugees. So they are de facto illegal immigrants. There's no special protection for them as refugees, which also means they have no work rights, they have no access to healthcare, education. And all this is made worse because if they do access healthcare, it's usually at a higher rate, especially if they don't have a UN refugee card. So there are lots of barriers to being a refugee in Malaysian society. Part of them are political and part of them are societal.
Gerhard explains that a refugee's uncertain status can often leave them vulnerable to exploitation, even if they have a UN refugee card.
There is a bit of an understanding between the authorities and the UNHCR that refugees who have a UNHCR card are to be treated with leniency. Legally, they can all be arrested and put into immigration detention, but in practice, most often, it means that the authorities will allow them to keep walking, although I have to say I've recorded very many instances of rent-seeking or extortion on the part of authorities and criminal elements who don't really care about the refugee card, but they care about you're not legally here, so they see an avenue of extorting something from them, which makes them quite vulnerable to that kind of thing. Because they're not legally resident in Malaysia, they're very scared of the police because the police also is involved in some of these activities. So there's a huge barrier to engaging authorities in many instances.
So opening the job market would provide much needed stability and also improve the ability of all refugees, not just Rohingyas, to provide for themselves and their families. But what kind of an impact would this have on the Malaysian market? Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan, president of the Malaysian Employers Federation, elaborates.
Looking at the demand for legal foreign workers currently, that particular decision by the ministry is very much welcome in the sense that we know there are quite a big number of Rohingya refugees currently in Malaysia. And of course, if we can get some of them to be legally employed, then of course it will resolve some of the problems faced by the employers with regard to the requirements of foreign workers. I would say that the refugees currently are here, and the number is nothing less than 150,000 currently. The numbers are not small. Yeah? So there is still the current need to bring in more and more new foreign workers to the country. And of course, the cost is pretty high to bring in new foreign worker. So at least if we allow the refugees that are currently already here, then those costs associated with the bringing in of new foreign workers will not be incurred by the employers. And of course, in terms of cost, it will be very much cheaper to allow the Rohingyas that are already here to work legally. And also for the employers in the sense that now they are able to employ the refugees without any kind of fear.
Despite that, Datuk Shamsuddin is also of the opinion that involving refugees in the job market is a short-term solution at best to the current labour gap.
We are trying to prepare ourselves for the opening up of the TPPA and also the ASEAN community market. And we find that with the shortage of workers, they may not be able to do the necessary expansion because of the difficulty in getting new foreign workers. I see that it would be able to resolve some of the issues we are facing on the shortage of workers, especially to do the 3D jobs. But I would say that in the long term, it may not be the sustainable action to do so. We know that refugees in the country is meant to be on transit only, to be relocated to a third country. And if we allow them to work, then their status may change from that of a refugee to another status of a legal foreign worker. And possibly the would-be third country may be skeptical in trying to accept them as a refugee to be relocated to their country. So that actually is something that perhaps the government need to make it very clear with the UNHCR that even if we allow them to work for the time being, that does not mean that the efforts by the UNHCR to relocate these people to a third country should stop there. It should be continuous. And the third country need to be briefed that this action is not on a permanent long-term basis. It's just to fill up the gap for the time being.
However, Gerhard points out that resettling refugees is not as easy as it seems.
I think one of the misconceptions I've come across, especially in my research in Malaysia, is from Malaysians, but also from other people, about the capacity of resettlement. So a lot of Malaysians, when they hear refugees, consider it really an international issue. And certainly the government sees resettlement of the majority of refugees as the pathway for them to leave Malaysia. But if you look at the global numbers, year by year, the global resettlement capacity around the world is only about 90 to 100,000 max. Now, that's the whole globe. And we have, you know, lots of hotspots in Africa, Syria, obviously. So there are lots of ongoing conflicts where people are being resettled from. And Malaysia is just one other place that resettles refugees out. So the yearly quota was actually at its peak a couple of years ago, where about 9,000, I think 10,000 at its peak, were being resettled every year. But if you look at the numbers, 150,000 registered refugees, even at its peak, and it's now being lowered because of the Syrian crisis, if you're resettling, let's say 6,000 to 8,000, 9,000, that still will take a very, very long time. So resettlement is really not the answer for all refugees in Malaysia.
It has been argued that refugees entering the job market would take jobs away from good, hardworking Malaysians. Datuk Shamsuddin responds.
If you look at the kind of work done by the foreign workers, they are not really competing with the local workers. They are actually complementing the kind of gaps left by the reluctance of some of the local workers to take up some of the jobs that may not be socially acceptable. So to say that the refugees who are going to be allowed to work actually are competing with the local workers for jobs available, I don't think that is the correct statement.
Gerhard concurs.
This argument is as old as people had jobs. The reality is that usually never happens. And if a refugee who has fled across the seas, you know, has learned your language and is able to take your job, well, maybe you're not doing a great job, right? There's something to be said about that. But the truth is, most Rohingya work in jobs that Malaysians already don't do. Malaysia has one of the highest rates of foreign workers that come through the work visa schemes. But actually, you have quite a sizable population of people who would love to do these legal jobs who are already in the country. To be quite honest, the only people who really make money off labor migration are often not the people coming into Malaysia to do the work. They actually don't earn that much. It's people higher up who are managing those contracts. And I think that's part of the barrier to real reform around work rights for refugees, because there are some vested interests who might see it as curbing part of the income stream, quite frankly.
Gerhard emphasizes the importance of viewing refugees as more than a statistic and to recognize the contributions that refugees have already made towards our society.
Think about refugees more broadly, because Rohingya refugees have gotten a lot of media attention since 2015, but there's still a sizable number of refugees from places like Somalia, Sudan, Afghanistan, a lot of Chin refugees, Mon, Zomi, all kinds of different ethnic groups from Myanmar, you know, about 100,000 other refugees apart from Rohingya who are also in Malaysia. So if you're listening to this on your morning drive to work, you've probably passed hundreds of refugees who've been cleaning up the streets even before you got up. While you're driving, the people who are mowing the lawns along the highway, some of those will be refugees. You know, the people who'll be collecting your trash, some of those will be refugees. The people who are serving you your kopi teh at the kopitiam, they may be refugees. Refugees are an integral part of your society already. And it'd be great to recognize that and actually engage with them and hear some of their stories and make refugees more human rather than numbers or press statements, but actually engage some of those stories that refugees have to tell about their own lives.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.